on 1089 and 1053 AM. The UK's biggest commercial radio station. Ian Collins in for James Wales on Talk Sport.
We have on the line from the United States of America is a man who's always welcome into our parlour of verbal joy here. Mr. Alex Jones is with us.
Hey,
Alex.
Yes, sir. It's good to be with you in the good old United Kingdom.
Hey, I'm going to be with you in the good old United States, where, of course, it's all happening at the moment. We watched with interest just last night the final debate. John Kerry, Senator John Kerry, the big Democrat, and, of course, George W. Bush, your incumbent president, battling it out for the big White House in November. It's looking a bit close, Alex.
Well, you know, it's great theater that William Shakespeare would shed a tear in glee for seeing the theatrical display by these two thespians. It's totally staged. They're both cousins. They're both members of the same secret society. Their policies are almost identical. But in a country where 85% of high school seniors cannot tell you who the vice president is, we're in deep trouble. In fact, I've sent my reporters on the street before to talk to 20 people in a row and ask them who the vice president is and who Kerry's VP running mate is, and about half of adults don't know who the VP running mates are. So we're in a lot of trouble because the average person who might be for the Iraq war cannot find Iraq on a map and doesn't know how many continents there are. So I don't have an elitist attitude. I think of myself as just an average person. But it scares me that the general public, at least in my country, is so dumbed down that they don't even know who their vice presidents are. Now, they can tell you, you know, all the favorite baseball scores, or they can tell you the best cologne to buy, and they can tell you, what outfit to wear to be totally cool, but they know nothing about the political spectrum, and they know nothing about history, and that's why we're being totally enslaved.
So is this why we need John Kerry in the White House? Because he'll be a new kind of guy with a clean sweep. He'll take out the old, in with the new, and America will suddenly come to life because of the Democrats.
It's total double teaming, and look, people keep asking me who they think is going to win. Frankly, everybody in this country focuses in on the presidential race, but all the real power is in Congress, is in the legislative branch, is at the state and local level. And you get about an 8% voter turnout in this country for state and local elections. You get about 55% for these big election years where you have a president every 4 years, and you get about 30% that show up for off-year national elections. So that's another one of our big problems. But then there's another layer to that. We have these electronic touchscreen voting systems, and the five big companies that are out there, three of them are run by former directors of the CIA. The other big fourth one is run by the former head of the NSA. And then one of the biggest radio syndicators in the country owns one of the other big ones. Senator Hagel owns the company that 90% of people that vote cast their ballots on in Nebraska. So it doesn't matter if he's 20 points behind the polls, he always magically wins. And we've had engineers from these companies quit to say it's all a fraud, it's all a scam. When they can get the machines to even turn on and work, there's major problems. And so there's a huge question there. When you go to an ATM or go to the grocery store, you get a receipt. But now when you vote in this country, you do not get a receipt. And they say, oh, why do you want a receipt? Why do you want to be able to have a recount, which has always been our right? Why don't you just trust us? Trust us when in the last 5 years there have been over 200 cases of electronic voting machine fraud coast to coast in this nation, and that was before they put the things in nationwide.
We're going to come back with Alex Jones in a couple of moments. You've got any questions you want to put his way, he'll take the whole lot. Anything you want to talk about, whether it's about the finer points of the American Constitution and how perhaps it's not all it's cracked up to be, we can extend that to European issues and, of course, on our own domestic agenda. Tony Blair, the royal family, what are the connections? Bush, Blair, hey, they're good buddies.
Hey, Ian.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let's talk about how the exact same policies that Bush carries out, Blair, the poodle, carries it out, sitting in his lap. They're giving you a national ID card. There's a national ID card about to pass here. You'll have to have one to have a job. And if you have bad credit, you're going to drop down in the rating there. And so we're actually going to have like these debtor prisons where you have to go work off your debts before the government lets you have another job. They've got that bill introduced. They've got the new Patriot Act bill introduced. And we can delve into Bush and Kerry and Skull and Bones. And by the way, a U.S. senator evacuated the Capitol yesterday with his staff, saying he was given a national security warning of an imminent attack on the Capitol, but the top senators won't talk about it and say it's national security. So we have people evacuating the Capitol right now, ladies and gentlemen. That hasn't happened since the British bombarded the Capitol hundreds of years ago.
Hey, all in good taste, of course.
Of course. Oh, I love you guys. Are you kidding?
Wow. Absolutely, yes. Stay with us, folks. We're back in a couple of moments. 08704-2020. A big tea party, of course, going on here. It's our own version. And any points you want to put to Alex, then do so on that number. If you want to text in, 81089, email talksport.net. We'll take calls whether it's about Iraq, any other connection. If something doesn't sit right on this planet for you, if you think, well, hang on a sec, that's just a little skewer. That doesn't seem right to me. Alex is your man to cut to the chase. He represents his own views, and we'll find out what they are in depth in a few moments. Your calls coming up 08704-2020. If you want a website that will keep you interested for hours, infowars.com has a whole bunch of stuff on there relating to all sorts of things that our guest tonight, Alex Jones, feels just don't quite sit right. Would that be a fair way, Alex, to describe the way you kind of see the planet we live on?
Absolutely, and I'm honored to be on your broadcast. We also have PrisonPlanet.tv, and I have two British webmasters. That's actually run out of the United Kingdom, PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com, and they do a fabulous job there, and we collaborate on a daily basis to bring people the most valuable analysis and information out there. The legislation in England and the U.S. are really showing how it's all merged together and how that we're really all part of one big global empire now known as the Anglo-American establishment. But here's the problem, is that the people of America and England are being enslaved just as much as those that are being enslaved by the empire outside of Oceania, as George Orwell called it.
Why is that? Why are we being enslaved? What's going on? It seems fairly democratic to me. I walk down the street, I come to work, I can go and have a drink in a bar, I can do my own thing, I can go on holiday, I can earn some cash, I pay my taxes. Things are pretty good. I can vote if I want to vote. I can vote for a different party if I don't like the one that's currently in power.
Well, doing the exact same thing as the other party, which is paid for by the exact same people. Look,
is that right? Are you just making this up, Alex?
They're putting in the control grid. If you think 4 million cameras in London and they videotape thousands of times every day's freedom, if you think transponders going in the vehicles to touch and trace where you go and what you do, if you think surveillance blimps flying over your city, which they're now doing here, controlling your life, looking through your walls with ground-penetrating radar is good. If you think these checkpoints they're setting up and tanks running around your airports, with different alerts for political aims are good. If you think the government trying to force inoculations on people, which have been found to be full of deadly, dangerous hormones, chemicals, viruses, mercury, you name it, is good, then, more power to you. If you think that all of these things that are happening are good, the jury system now starting to be phased out, losing your sovereignty to the EU, with courts that will have authority over your national sovereignty. I mean, these are very serious issues when our Supreme Court last year said, we're going to follow the UN criminal court's orders. Our Supreme Court said they're now the ultimate authority. I think that's wrong. I think America, the United Kingdom, Germany, all these Western countries, period, should be sovereign and should be run by their own populations. I mean, look, in your major polls, 70 to 80% of people are against the euro. But still, whether it's Labor or whether it's the Tories, they keep trying to push entering the euro and getting rid of your pound and getting rid of your sovereignty.
Surely, on the issue of things like cameras, I mean, there are certain things, Alex, that are natural evolutions of any people, and cameras are pretty much in response to high crime. People feel a little safer knowing that if somebody's about to pickpocket their wallet, they're caught on camera. These are the kind of things that I think you're panicking about unnecessarily.
Well, come on. Quit playing devil's advocate there, Beelzebub.
Beelzebub.
I'm just joking around.
I know you are. But what I'm saying is, there are things that are a certain evolution that will happen anyway.
Let me answer your question. Okay. First they said the cameras were for traffic. Then they were for crime. Now they're going to attach little telescreens on it that shout orders at you if you're doing something unsociable.
Are you sure about that?
That's been your major news, our news. Yes, they're going to have screens on the cameras that then shout orders at you. Here in the U.S., they have put cameras in the school bathrooms on highway stop rest stops. Police in Pennsylvania just got mad when they found hidden cameras in their bathroom. Oh, we're just making sure you're being good in the showers. No, in 1984, Winston Smith, you know, has a video camera taping him while he goes potty. Now, that is not freedom. And let me tell you about here in the United States. They are trying to have forced psychological testing of every child in the country, now adults. 15% of the children are on Ritalin or Prozac. Now they want to have that number even go up higher. They're trying similar stuff in the United Kingdom. Your own National Medical Association came out and called it a brave new world, Huxleyan adventure that we're now on. Both of your parties in your country, your two major parties, Labor and Tories, were both for this phony war on Iraq, built on lies about 45-minute, you know, nuclear missile launch dates. And our governments helped put Saddam into power, helped tell him to go ahead and invade Iran, helped set him up for all of this. So, no, we really don't have a choice when all the major parties, Republican, Democrat, Tory, Labor, are for the exact same thing. Well, they'll have a staged WWF fake wrestling, you know, theater for you, but it's not real, Ian.
Okay, let's take some calls here, Alex. Mo is in Blackburn. Mo.
Hiya.
Hiya, make it through to Alex Jones from Infowars.com.
Hiya, Alex. How are you doing today?
Good, sir.
I've been listening to you on the radio about this election in America and what far as it's been. I've been reading a lot of things on the internet over the period of time, and one conspiracy theory going around at the moment is Bush might have captured Bin Laden already, but he's going to roll him out to the public a couple of weeks before the election just to get his rating high and he'll win the election. And that's been going pretty strongly over the net at the moment.
Any thoughts on that, Alex?
Yeah, let me be clear on this. I've never said they're going to capture Bin Laden, but 2.5 years ago, I was at a media party here in Austin, and a member of the Bush administration was drunk and told me in a corner that, let me tell you, Alex, we're going, he died of kidney failure, and we're going to, he's on ice, and right before the 04 election, we're going to roll him out. So I put on prisonplanet.com, and that article's there, the, you know, the audio report I did is there from 2.5 years ago. I said, I don't know if it's true, I don't know if it's disinfo. This is what I was told, and since then, Madeleine Albright, former Secretary of State, said it on Fox News. Since then, Senator Grassley, a Republican, has said it to the Associated Press. Since then, Teresa Kynes-Harry, 3 weeks ago, said it.
Wife of John, yes?
Yeah, wife of Skull and Bones, Harry. And so they're all saying it. I don't know if it's true. And because we've been talking about it, they may have to cancel that now or maybe claim they bombed a cave or something and, look, here's his toenail. You know, here's his snout. let's explain who Bin Laden works for.
Ian.
Usama Bin Laden.
Go on, Alex. Carry on.
No, I apologize. Go ahead.
Go on, Bill.
Ian.
Yeah.
Do you have any odds from Ladbrokes or somebody for this event?
Do we have odds from the bookmakers for this to happen? Yeah. Is anyone taking bets on this, Alex?
You know, generally the odds makers are right on who's going to win, and maybe we should check with Las Vegas on who's going to win the presidency. They were right in 2000. They may be right this time. We should get some odds going on if they're going to roll out Bin Laden. But look, let me just give you some history of Osama Bin Laden. Everybody knows that the British government created Saudi Arabia and created Kuwait, correct?
Yeah.
They made the map, you know, 1918. Lawrence of Arabia, all that jazz. Well, the Bin Laden family were British intel officers, and they were one of the tribes that they gave machine guns and weapons to help enforce things. This is just public. And the Bin Ladens had worked for the U.S. and British intel right up until the 80s, where they went after the Soviets in Afghanistan. In 1988, when they and then into 99, Bin Laden admittedly got $100+ million from Bill Clinton, helped attack the Serbs. When the Serbs fought back, they said, oh, look, they're terrorists. Let's go in and take over their country. And that happened. This is admitted. Senate reports. Then again, Bin Laden takes the blame as a CIA asset, controls a bunch of useful idiots under him who follow his orders. The guy's secular, used to have, you know, no beard. His code name in the CIA is Tim Osman. This is all admitted. He's about to die July of 2001. This was in Le Figaro, Associated Press, but French first broke it. In Dubai, he met with the head of the CIA, the section chief, for several days when he was in the American hospital being treated. He's not in some cave. He dies. They freeze him. And then his family gets given all these giant contracts and well taken care of and flown out of the country, 2 days after 9/11 when all of their air traffic was grounded. People wonder how 9/11 took place. I now have this from the highest levels of the Pentagon, from the highest levels of people who've been deposed in NORAD, and I can tell you now how 9/11, we have the specifics now of how it was carried out. And 3 years ago when you first interviewed me, and I didn't have all the details, we just had the evidence pointing towards the official story.
So what is the official story now then? What's happened?
Do we have time or are you about to break?
We'll take a short break and then we'll be back. But just very quickly before we do, Alex, am I right in saying, and this isn't a big story in this country, that George W. Bush and John Kerry are in fact related?
Yes, and it's come out now through some of the major peerage associations that are highly respected. Dick Cheney is also Bush's cousin and Kerry's cousin. And Bush and Kerry are cousins on all four sides of their family. To understand that, Bush has a daddy and a mommy. Kerry has a daddy and a mommy. All four sides, all of those four bloodlines are related. And Kerry has more royal blood, according to the Associated Press, London Guardian, Burt's Peerage, than Bush. Therefore, they predict he will win, and that's never been wrong. And so they are Saxe-Coburg-Gothas, just like your royalty is. And Kerry even has more to the Sun King of France, to Tsar Nicholas. There's nobody royal this guy isn't related to.
Okay.
This guy could move in and demand his title lands immediately.
Yeah, I must say, I'd love to have seen him on the debate last night with a crown on his head. That would have been fantastic.
Yeah. That's funny. They say you guys want to elect a royal, which I think is admirable. I'm not against royalty, period, but yeah. I'm certainly against being in power. But we will. You've got to be real. Two guys from the same fraternity with 15 members a year called Skull and Bones, with the Jolly Rogers / Nazi symbol, and related to each other out of 290 million people. I mean, come on.
We will talk some more in a couple of moments. Time Alex Jones is with us. Infowars.com you can go to and have a look and see what's happening there, because there's so much information, and I'm sure Alex will be the first to say, you make your own conclusions about anything you read, but it's interesting and it gives you a slant that you might not be getting out of your press. And whilst Alex speaks for himself, no doubt you will read certain articles on there and think, I just simply didn't know that because nobody has ever reported it before. So have a little look and see what you make of that. We'll be back with Alex in a couple of moments. 08704 2020. Alex Jones is with us. Infowars.com is the website. Have a look at that and see what you make of an incredible amount of information. There's enough to keep you going for about 100 years on there, Alex. It's pretty darn busy. Your site, it gets bigger.
Well, it does. And again, everything I've been saying, we document. Most of it's in the mainstream news, but it's buried. And then all we do is decipher the spin. But we can go to calls if you'd like. I'm honored to be here, but I could put in a nutshell for people what really happened on 9/11.
Yeah, well, let's just go to Shahidi Rostov. Then we'll come back and we'll find out what the true story, according to Alex Jones, is about 9/11. Shahidi Rostov.
Hi, Alex.
Hello.
The reason I'm ringing, Alex, is the biggest white elephant in American politics, which liberal freethinkers don't address because they don't want to be accused of being anti-Semite, and that's the power of the Jewish lobbies in America, and what some people would say is the JOG or the ZOG, which is the Zionist occupied government or the Jewish occupied government. I wonder why you don't address such issues and why you tend to skip around it and call it...
You mean America or Alex in particular, Shane?
Sorry?
You mean America or Alex?
No, in American. Why Alex doesn't address it head on?
Well, I'm sure you're going to think that I'm ducking your comment. I just don't seem to agree with you. Let me elaborate on this, and I was going to actually explain this. We all know about the Italian mafia, La Cosa Nostra. Mm-hmm. And we know that it's a secret society of interrelated families. We know that they do weird little rituals when they make a member, when they've got enough little evil deeds and can be trusted. Well, I can talk about the Italian mafia and not be against Italians. I can talk about the WASP mob that I believe is the dominant mafia. So powerful, they run all the big institutions, and so they're not organized crime. They're just the establishment, but they operate the same way. There is a Jewish mafia. And what people do is, instead of criticizing a Jewish mafia that is in some positions of power and do work together and work with other mafias, a lot of people want to just say that it's all Jews, that are involved in this, and that plays right into the globalist hands. In fact, I've caught our government, as well as the British government, in the past, actually funding some of these extreme far right-wing groups that say it's all the Jews, because that's what the establishment wants. They want to make anybody who exposes mafias, period, racial mafias, look bad. So is there a Jewish mafia? Well, yes, according to criminology, which you can go take in college. I even took a little bit of it. That yes, there is a Jewish mafia. It's arguably the second largest mafia in the United States. But 99% of Jews are not involved in it, just like 99% of Italians are not in the Italian mafia, and 99% of Irish are not in our Irish mafia, and 99% of Germans are not in our German mafia. See, I look at things from a different angle, a different spectrum analysis. I live my life studying this, and is there a Zionist group in our government that wants to use our government to attack the entire Middle East and take over these countries for more living space? Am I against that? Yes, I am. But do some of the Muslims get in their own little mafias, their own little mullah-controlled mafias, and carry out real terror attacks and say, kill all the infidels? Yes. But again, 90-plus percent of Muslims do not have that view either. So I'm not blaming all Muslims.
What's happening in the Middle East and the neoconservatives? Why don't people just come out and say Zionist or Jewish?
Yeah, sir, I've made several films that the neocons are in. One of them, Police State, Pre-Total Enslavement. My new film, American Dictator, documenting the staged election in 2004, which you can watch for 15 cents a day, a trial membership at PrisonPlanet.tv. We go over this, but frankly, sir, I look at the stockholders of the military-industrial complex in our media, and it is the Dutch royal family. It is the British royal family. It is the Rockefellers. It's people like that. Now, are there some Jews involved, like the Rothschilds, who claim they're Jewish? Well, yes, but is it? But again, sir, I don't think it's one group, and I think it's a big distraction that people play into. And regardless of what evil's coming down on us, whoever's running it, I'm fighting the evil itself.
Okay, Shay, thank you, mate, for that. Alex, just run over then, 9/11, the true story, what really happened.
Okay, again, for 3 years, even before 9/11, I said they're going to use Bin Laden, their asset, to take the blame to attack the towers. In the next few months. I said, call the White House, tell them don't carry out the attacks. I never issued a warning like that. That was the sources I had. The prior knowledge was all over the place. People were really worried about this. And then it happens. And then automatically we learned that public officials like Mayor Willie Brown got a call from the White House, said, don't fly to New York tomorrow morning, September 11th. The Joint Chiefs of Staff told Newsweek they were told, don't fly to New York tomorrow. That was on September 10th. John Ashcroft, the same thing. All of these people. So we started looking closer. The CIA was connected to insider trading, betting against United and American with insider knowledge. Those are just a few of the things. We know they flew the Bin Ladens out of the country. We know the supposed hijackers were trained at U.S. military bases, MSNBC, Pensacola News Journal. That's all in the 9/11 sections of PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. So we knew there was prior knowledge. We knew the official story was a fraud, and there's 600 points proving that. I just covered about five of them. But then about 2.5 years ago, I interviewed Stanley Hilton, Bob Dole's former chief of staff. Bob Dole, former leader of the Senate, presidential candidate, of course, in 1996. And I interviewed Stanley Hilton, who was suing George Bush for $7 billion. He represented 400 of the victims' families of 9/11, the biggest single lawyer representing the single biggest group of people. And Mr. Hilton also went to college with Wolfowitz and Pearl and others, the chief neocons, who were under a guy named Strauss, who believed in fascism, there at the University of Chicago, and he wrote his graduate thesis on governments using terrorism to bring in martial law. So Stanley Hilton is an insider expert, main strategist for many years for Bob Dole, leader of the Senate. And he just said, I can't, you know, be quiet about this anymore. I've got the, you know, knowledge that our government was behind it. So he went out and deposed members of NORAD, generals, all the hijackers' wives, all of this. He went out and did all this, and he said on my broadcast, he said 2.5 years ago, and the audio of this and the text of this is on my website, and he said, Alex, I have deposed them. There was a drill on the morning of 9/11, multiple drills, run by the CIA and NORAD, of flying hijacked jetliners into the World Trade Center and Pentagon. Now, do you understand what I just said? On the morning of 9/11, at 8:30 in the morning, he said there were drills being run. And I thought, that's incredible. I was like, plus, I don't know if this is true. 2 months later, the Associated Press comes out to get out ahead of our story and put spin on it and says, yes, in a strange twist of fate, on the morning of 9/11, the CIA was running a drill of exactly what happened on 9/11 happening. Now, people are going, well, that's impossible. This is why they did it. 99% of people in NORAD, again, are not part of this global mafia. They had to think that it was just a drill. And so they stood down thinking those four hijacked jets were part of the drill. And now we have some of the air traffic control tapes where they go. Is this part of the drill? Is this part of the simulation? That was just in that Sky Television news piece I was in about 9/11 in your country. They showed that, is this part of the drill? Is this part of the drill? But they didn't go any further. Is this part of the drill? And so that was how Dick Cheney in the command bunker, who admittedly did the stand down order, was in control of everything. Look, my dad's a pilot. If you get off course for 5 minutes in a two-seat Cessna, they will call you and say, what are you doing? Get back on course. If you don't, they will launch F-16s. They will be on you in 10, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. When golfer Payne Stewart, remember his plane depressurized in 99 and he died?
Yeah.
When golfer Payne Stewart depressurized and he got off course, within 5 minutes they contacted him, within 10 minutes they launched F-16s, and 18 minutes in, he was surrounded by five F-16s ready to shoot him down, who followed him until it crashed into a cornfield in Nebraska. Now, suddenly on 9/11, in the most controlled airspace in the world, everything shuts down. Even after planes are flying into buildings, still they were sitting there going, we've got to get orders to do something. We haven't been given orders. We've got to stand down. When the orders were already standing for them to shoot down an airplane 3 months before. But 3 months before 9/11, we have this from the Pentagon website, the power was taken from the generals and admirals and given to Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney. They took that shoot down power away 3 months before, then ran a drill the morning of 9/11. Now, this is where it gets serious. Now, from these same sources that have proven to be totally accurate in the past, we know what happened. Okay. 9 of the 19 hijackers have been found to still be alive. BBC says 7. Then the FBI says, okay, that was just a mistake. We just got their names off a little bit. It was somebody else. Now, remember the magic passport that fell out of the rubble of the towers, went out of the guy's suit, out of the fireball, fell down to the ground unscathed. Then when that guy popped up alive, they said, okay, forget the story. They didn't explain where the passport came from, why they said it. They just said it was a false report 6 months after 9/11. Just a side issue there for you. Now the real meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
This is what happened. Of the other hijackers, the other 10 that really were on those planes, this is what happened. You are going to hear it. This is from multiple Pentagon sources, FBI, CIA. This is what happened, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourselves.
Alex, can I just stop you there for 1 second as we prepare ourselves? We're going to pause momentarily. We'll be back with this information from Alex Jones after this. 08704-2020, Alex Jones is with us. Let's get to the real crux of the matter here. Alex, you were telling us 9/11, the real story.
Exactly. Okay, so we've got these drills going on. The Pentagon, everybody, the good folks there, they think it's a drill. They've been told it's a drill. Exactly what was happening.
Okay.
Well, so did the 10 real hijackers. Okay, now let's explain. And this is from multiple sources, and it fits with all the facts. This is what happened. On board the aircraft, you have 10 CIA operatives, Arabs, who were at topless bars the night before, not very devout guys, who have been trained at bases, houses, cars, credit cards, paid for by the U.S. government. Embassy stops them coming back into the country. They get a CIA call, Mr. Springman, the head of the Jetta. Embassy says, yeah, they told us they were part of some U.S. government training mission. This is the hijackers. This is all admitted. All these pieces. They then get on the planes. The month before, there had been other drills on a weekly basis. This has all come out. These guys were part of the hijacking drills. They were U.S. government operatives. We talked to their wives, everybody now, done the depositions. They go get on the aircraft. They're part of the exercise, but it isn't an exercise. Nerve gas is released in the aircraft, kills everyone on board, and then they fly the aircraft into the buildings. And then the same military-industrial complex, that is the military controllers, flied into the buildings. Just a small, knit group of people. One trailer with the special equipment can do it with these remote control systems. And then they produce a couple fake cell phone calls and things like that to people's families and things.
How do you fight
this
that?
Is the same, hold on. This is the same government that gave us fake videos of Fat Bin Ladens and fake letters from the troops and fake Niger uranium documents.
So how do you fake up a phone call from one man to his spouse?
There was only three phone calls, and two of them were to cell phones, and the other one, the widow, said it didn't exactly sound like my husband, but then he only just said a few words, "We've been hijacked, and I love you." And then let's roll. So this is the type of stuff we've got here. But look, I was told by this source and other sources that it was grills that morning. Then it comes out mainstream news. I'm told that the hijackers were government agents and had their houses and everything paid for. That comes out mainstream news that we were paying for their houses. Well, we did order the embassies to let them back in. Well, we did train them at U.S. military bases, but we're not going to talk about it. National security. Here's another piece of evidence outside of my other evidence and my inside witnesses. Now, this is very, very important. Actor James Woods.
Yeah.
Actor James Woods, a week and a half before 9/11, is flying on a commercial American flight. There are five guys on board, one that he fingered as Muhammad Adam. They're simulating suspicious activity in what looks like a hijacking. When he gets off, he runs, they call the FBI, they hold the flight. He goes, "Those guys are simulating a hijacking." James Woods is a smart guy.
Yeah.
And the FBI comes and says, "You keep your mouth shut, this is national security." And they let the guys go and watch the plane take back off. And then a week and a half later, these very same people are flying planes into buildings. So there you have it again.
So the people that did the hijacking did a quick rehearsal up in the sky in front of a bunch of passengers.
Yes, actor James Woods has been on our national television saying this 2.5 years ago. But my point is, it isn't just that. It's that we know they were trained at Pensacola Naval Air Station. Then they went out and created their fake history at these flight schools and, you know, couldn't even get Cessnas off the ground, as their flight school teacher told them.
Okay. Go on, Alex.
And we've gotten the same story now from Zacharias Moushawi, the supposed Qantas hijacker. Oh, and don't forget Nick Berg. Remember Nick Berg, who supposedly got his head cut off?
That's the man, yeah.
Nicholas Berg had this 3.8 grade point average Ivy League school where they recruit from for intelligence. He quits to have a bag of tricks around the world helping people. Then he works at Abu Ghraib prison. He's grabbed by the FBI in Iraq for 13 days and released directly to Al-CIA's hands. And then the next thing we see is his head getting sawed off, and then forensic experts, heads of U.S. universities, Canadian, British universities, look at him and say, "That's a fake beheading. He wasn't flopping, you know, no blood spraying." But, again, side issue there, this is the most important thing. Did you know Nick Berg gave two of the hijackers his passcode and his laptop on a bus when he was down to a flight school in Oklahoma? Well, we never knew he was in flight training, but funny enough, he was down there hanging out with some of the supposed hijackers. Then he shows up working at Abu Ghraib and working with an Iraqi who works for the State Department publicly in the CIA. And then next he's held by the FBI and released to Al-Qaeda to have his head cut off.
We're going to take some more calls. Alex Jones is with us from Infowars.com. Stay with us, Alex. Don't go away. Kevin, Darren's there. Doug as well. Lines are open. 0874-202020. This is TalkSport. We're back on the phone taking your calls to Alex Jones. Infowars.com. Have a look at that website. Check it out. You can agree or disagree. If you want to say something to Alex that is in total disagreement with anything he said, his shoulders are broad. He can take it on the chin. You're up for anything, Alex. Yep.
Ian, exactly. Can I just throw in a 30-second piece of info here?
Yeah.
I've made two films about 9/11 over 5 hours. I've written a book, published a book, and we have all the documents on PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. I've only given you some of the small portions of the evidence of what we're talking about here, and I just challenge people. What Michael Moore told you was maybe 2%, folks. My film, 9/11, The Road to Tyranny, documents the entire spectrum, the awful truth. We even have the official U.S. government plan, Operation Northwoods, where the U.S. government decades ago called for carrying out 9/11-style attacks and blaming it on the Soviets for a pretext for World War III. That plan was shot down. But we have official government plans where they plan things like 9/11.
All right. Let's go to Kevin and Isha. Kevin.
Hi, Alex.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to know, what do you think the end game is going to be with all this kind of Illuminati-type police state, you know, kind of thing going on in the States at the moment? Do you think there's going to be anything happening before the election? Another terrorist?
I'm not sure how long. Are you guys going to hold me over, or is this it?
Yeah, we'll hold you over if that's all right with you, Alex.
Oh, I'd love
you're
to.
Okay. You're okay at the moment for a couple of minutes.
Okay, well, here's Dayton closes Washington offices over safety concerns, Associated Press. I'm not saying there's going to be big attacks, but the government told U.S. News and World Report that, quote, the Capitol will be destroyed during the election, or there will be coast-to-coast attacks. They said one of those two things will happen. U.S. News and World Report, that is terrorism, pure and simple, to get political gain. They're scaring everybody. Now Senator Dayton, who's got a pretty good record, Mark Dayton, yesterday evacuated his offices and said, quote, Dayton says he waited until now to close his office because he's been in D.C. since he received the report from the national security people. Quote, particularly since I'm not going to be here in Washington to share in the risk, I think it's immoral for me to leave behind my staff knowing what I know and not being here with them. Dayton says he asked Majority Leader Fisk to call a meeting of all senators to discuss the situation, but Fisk said he will not do that. And, again, months ago they said it will be destroyed, the Capitol will be destroyed. I didn't say that. If it doesn't happen, praise God. It's the government saying it to scare them to pass this Patriot Act 2, a national ID card that is about to pass this week or next week. And meanwhile, we have respected senators evacuating, saying he was told that the Capitol will probably be blown up by the election. And then I know FEMA operatives, Special Forces operatives. I got family who are Special Forces officers. I know people in Homeland Security. They've been told, get ready for total martial law from October 1st to January 1st, with the top days being October 28th to November 1st. That's the most dangerous time. And now the Washington Times reported that 25 Chechens with what they think are suitcase nukes crossed into Arizona a month ago. And again, you get into that. Putin's clearly involved with Bush. These are staged events in Russia. I don't know if any of this is true. The point is they're out there saying this to the point that we have senators evacuating.
All right, Alex, stay with us. Kevin, thank you, mate, for that. 08704-2020. We're going to take a pause for some news headlines and a sports update as well. Then we're back with more from Alex Jones. If you want to make any kind of comment on anything that's come up, any kind of conspiracy theories that might have come your way, you've got to check them out with Alex, see if they've come his way too. Then the lines are open on that. Text, phone, or email. This is TalkSport. And we return. Alex Jones is with us from Austin, Texas. Across the big pond, of course, where elections within the next few weeks will decide who is the next president of the United States, George W., or would it be Senator John Kerry? You say, Alex, that the pointers, looking at how these things have been talked about historically, suggest John Kerry.
Again, I don't like to make predictions because it's kind of like the movie Alien versus Predator. No matter who wins, we lose. But yes, Burke's peerage was in The Guardian a few months ago, said it's going to be Kerry, and they've been right in the past. I mean, this royal bloodline thing is really powerful. I thought it was going to be Bush all along, but then the New York Times, I mean, I've been on your show years ago talking about the Bilderberg Group. It didn't supposedly exist. Now, it was the New York Times two articles a few months ago going, well, the Bilderberg Group told Kerry in a phone call they liked John Edwards, and so he appointed John Edwards as his VP running mate. I mean, that was in the New York Times of all places, and then when I saw that, I thought, well, then maybe it is going to be Kerry. But again, it's puppet on the left, puppet on the right. Gee, I like this puppet. Kerry's for the war. Kerry's for open borders. Kerry wants to go into Iran. I mean, I don't really see any difference. He talks about going to our allies, but that's just all a bunch of talk. Really, I don't see any real difference between these two. And again, I go into that in my new film, American Dictators. It's a 2-hour video out on VHS and DVD where I show how their cousins, how they're members of the same organizations, how their policies are almost identical. And folks can actually go and sign up at PrisonPlanet.tv and watch all my films, all my weekly TV reports, all the material that really gives you the hardcore information you need to decide if I'm telling the truth. Because I neurotically document everything I'm talking about. We go over all the stuff that's public knowledge. We just condense it all in together. But, Ian, first off, I want to say I love the music. And I love to listen to you. I even listen sometimes on the web to you on the weekend. And I love Talk Sport. I wish we had something like this over here in the U.S.
Does this kind of fare quite openly as a forum for talk in comparison to the U.S.?
Well, I mean, I have my own syndicated radio show on over 80 stations. But and I do big interviews on, you know, on some of the biggest shows in this country. But I mean the feel, the atmosphere. That Maximus thing about Maximus Sportus or whatever. I just love it. I'm a Talk Sport fan.
Hey, beautiful. We've got Darren, who's a Talk Sport fan. He's on the M5, and it's referenced the Bilderberg Group. Darren.
Hello, Ian.
Hey, Alex.
Hello, Alex.
Hello, sir.
We all know now about the Illuminati and the Bilderberg Group. There was an article last week about on Talk Sport as regards to this trilateral organization or trilateral group, which is actually a group above the Bilderberg and above the Illuminati. And
that's not true.
I just wondered if Alex had heard of that. Anything about it.
So, tell us more, Alex.
Yeah, a few weeks ago at the Republican National Convention, I was out front. The Trilateral Commission's main office was founded in 1972 by Zbigniew Brzezinski, later to be Jimmy Carter's National Security Advisor, and David Rockefeller paid for it to be set up. And let me just explain how this works, okay? And this isn't my opinion, this is the facts, okay? Now, you know how global corporations operate. They're interlocking. The guy who's the chairman of one corporation is on the board of 50 others, okay? So the Bilderberg Group came out of the Royal Institute of International Affairs, set up by Cecil Rhodes and the big diamond families, Oppenheimer. The Oppenheimers were the world diamond monopoly. So over 100 years ago, they set up Royal Institute of International Affairs. And then out of that, they needed a working body in Europe. So Prince Bernhard and Queen Beatrix of the Netherlands in 1954 set up the Bilderberg Group. That was the name of the hotel where they first met. The Bilderberg Group is as elite as it gets. The Bilderberg Group only has 120 members. They'll have about 10 to 20 guests a year. One of them was John Edwards. They usually meet in Europe, a different place every time, maybe every 5 years in the U.S. They meet once a year. And the BBC, about, I don't know, 6 months ago, released the minutes of the 54 Bilderberg meeting because they wanted to release it. They're kind of coming out of the closet now. And in it was the European Union, everything that we now see happening. They really are setting policy, and now they're kind of bragging about it, whereas 5 years ago, there were articles about me in the New York Times saying I'm a kook who believes in an imaginary group called the Bilderberg Group, but I was just going off the documents of people who've investigated it for decades. So Royal Institute of International Affairs is the oldest. Then it grew into Bilderberg Group, and the heads of it are the heads of the Trilateral Commission and the CFR. Now, the CFR is the biggest, and it's more of a large management body. It has 2,300 members. Trilateral only has about 500 members. Bilderberg only has about 120 members. And, I mean, the Bilderberg meeting, it's all the royalty, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. They're admittedly all there with armies around them guarding them, and they set global policy. And so the Trilateral Commission is a small group of economists that report to Bilderberg and the CFR. Trilateral, admittedly, is more about tweaking the economics of the IMF and World Bank for the Pan-American Union, already being set up. Average America doesn't even know what it is. It's probably already set up. The EU and the Asian-Pacific Union, which will then be merged into a global currency. This is all their own public documents, and so Trilateral is a special group of economists helping report to the Bilderbergs on the economy, whereas CFR is a larger management group over academia, banking, media, government. They have their head people in almost every area, and then they also report back.
All right. Darren, thank you, mate, for that. Got to move on just to get more calls on. Alex, stay where you are. 08704-2020. This is Talk Sport.
The UK's number one commercial radio station is Talk Sport.
Let's get straight to the phones. We've got about another 10 minutes here with Alex. Let's go to Doug in Barnsley. Doug.
I like to listen to what Alex was saying about the conspiracy group. What I would like to know, Alex, is how many other candidates are standing for the presidency? Because in Britain, we only get told of two. Could you tell me, please?
That's a good question.
Well, it's the same thing. When you actually get to hear a Libertarian or a Constitutional Party candidate or a Green Party candidate, most of the crowd goes, oh, I'm with them. But they never get given any attention. So these two selected candidates, the two rigged horses in the race, are the only two that get to run in the race. So either way, the globalists win. So absolutely.
So there is no Green Party candidate? There's no anything else?
Well, there are, but anytime they get to talk to the public, suddenly the undecideds and everybody are for them. They would win. Third-party candidates would win. Ross Perot was going to win until he got discredited and dropped out back in 1992. The ideas are popular, they just had a Zogby poll in New York, most respected poll. Half of New Yorkers believe the U.S. government was behind 9/11. But how many newspapers do you think reported on that? Absolutely none.
Hey, interesting. Doug, does that answer the question, sir?
Thank you for that. So we don't know actually how many are standing other than the two prime ones.
Well, we do, but they just don't get any attention. They have.
I've heard one name mentioned, a Gerald somebody, but other than that, I've heard nothing. I wondered, because last election, there was about 8 or 9, I heard.
They are. It's Michael Perutka, Constitution Party, Michael Bagnarik, a personal friend of mine from Austin, Libertarian candidate. Then you have, of course, Ralph Nader, but those are the only three serious...
And there's no chance because they haven't got the money behind them.
Well, they're just not giving attention. They're not allowed in the debates.
There we are. Clark, thank you very much for that. Simon in Romford. Simon.
Yeah, hi.
Yes, mate.
Hi, Alex. Just a couple of points, really. If you believe, I believe your conspiracy theories anyway, but if you believe that the next war is with Iran, how is the American and the British government going to sell it to the people to allow that war to happen? That's the first point.
Well, they're probably going to carry out more terror attacks that they staged to scare you into submission like Hitler with the Reichstag.
And the second point is, Alex, what do you think the end game is? Is it like the Illuminati's game? Do they want a world conflict, world war, or world domination?
Yeah, that's it. They want to get rid of 80 to 95% of us. They want a utopia for the elite. They want to totally enslave humanity, which is really what elites have always tried throughout history.
So they're copying more or less Adolf Hitler's theory, the way that he acted.
The power elite believes in social Darwinism. They think because we're not in power, we deserve to be slaves. That's their own publications.
Well, thank you for that, Simon. Let's go to Nick in Tring. Nick.
Yeah, hi there. Ian, Alex. Just really regarding the idea that you've got about the dirty bomb attack potentially in Washington, D.C., there's a website I've come across.
Hold on. The government says it will happen. I'm saying they're saying it, and that's irresponsible. I hope it doesn't happen. So when it doesn't happen, don't say Alex said it was going to happen.
No,
it's going to happen.
It's not just yourself. It's just that there's a website, the Idealists, or the UK, that actually says the same thing, and they've actually named the date. 31st of October.
Sir, what I'm telling you is the U.S. government says it's going to happen. They told major news that. I'm just reporting on how they're saying this. I'm not saying it's going to happen.
Okay, other point, what can we do? What can anyone do to stop all of this?
Well, that's a good question. Expose who has the motive behind terror. Now, qui bono, as the Romans would say, who stands to gain, who benefits, who has a motive? They get more power, more control every time this happens, more consolidation. So say, hey, if there's more attacks, giving up my liberties doesn't keep us safe, so you don't come after my liberties. You know, if 19 hijackers did this who weren't Americans, why did all Americans become suspects on September 12th? Same thing in England. You know, they care so much about terrorism, and it's supposedly these foreigners doing it, then deport them.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I mean, is this all inevitable, though? Is there no choice, really, for the majority of the world?
Fighting them, if we weren't here fighting the globalists, we would already be deep in the New World Order. Resistance is not futile when the globalists, you know, tell us it's futile. That's a fraud.
Mm-hmm, good. Keep fighting.
All right.
Yeah, I've never seen such an awakening taking place. I've done 1,600-plus interviews in the last 3 years. And I'll do a show for 2 hours. They'll take 30 calls. Maybe one caller will disagree, and they'll say they want to kill me. I've done my own poll, liberal, conservative shows. Almost no one disagrees with me. When they hear it, they know it in their guts.
What about somebody? We lost a British guy who was beheaded, as you may have heard about this, Alex, of course.
I believe that was a copycat group. There are three types of beheaders. There's CIA operatives, there's real beheadings, and then we've also had some stage beheadings. Go ahead.
So what do you think is behind the recent one? Two Americans were executed first, and then the British guy, Kenneth Bigley, who was kind of left for 3 weeks while the group seemed to soak up all the publicity, but then executed just a week ago.
There are certainly real Muslim extremists that really are terrorists, but most of the big, spectacular events are government operations.
Okay.
Al-Qaeda can't make NORAD stand down for over an hour and 45 minutes.
Eric says, please ask Alex which governments are providing the Iraqi insurgents with weapons and ammunition.
The whole place was armed at the teeth, so they don't really need to provide them with weapons. They have a higher gun ownership capacity per capita than the U.S., the place has been an armed camp all along, and at first they were throwing rose petals at us, but now our supposed allies, the Shiites, are after us because we haven't put the power back on, because we have arrested families at checkpoints and tortured innocent people, and even our top generals have been quitting and saying it's going to blow up in our face.
This comes from Emma, who says, please get Alex to rant or tell us about the UK Civil Contingency Bill. Do you know anything about this?
You know, I know you're about to kick me off here, and I'm an honor to be on, but I would stay and talk about that if I had time. It's the same martial law legislation they're trying to pass here. They call it Rest and Relocation Centers in the London Telegraph. That was a year ago. Rest and Relocation Centers. A massive terror attack is a way to re-engineer society forever into a total police state. And we've got our new national security bill with a national ID card, Patriot Act 2, secret arrest of citizens for any crime. I mean, this is their excuse for total control and power. And whatever's happening here, the exact same things, sometimes under the same name, like we have Head Start, you have Sure Start, you know, for school programs. I mean, we're being run by the same group of egg-headed social engineers.
Do you think something as audacious as 9/11 will happen in this country?
Again, I've only made predictions a few times, and unfortunately they've come true. But obviously, if they keep getting total power and control, and if we keep capitulating and saying, take my rights, every time a terror attack happens, yes. And we're going to have a national draft in this country after the globalists blow something up. This is their road to power. I mean, the head of the CFR said a couple years ago we need to use the 9/11 disaster for a new world order, and Hitler called for a new world order, George Sr. called for a new world order, and when you hear for somebody calling for a new world order, better not be bending over, folks, because they're here to screw you.
Going back to a previous caller's point, the business of the end game, if you have got a bunch of guys right at the top, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call these people, who are running the game, they influence governments, they sit in secret and work out exactly what's going to happen that year and the plan for the next 5, 10 years, whatever. It still means that the likes of me or you, Alex, can still go around driving a nice car if we want to, get whatever job we like, travel abroad, do our own thing. We have got these freedoms.
Ian, we're going to have a $2,000 a year tax in Austin with a transponder in our cars when the roads are all paid for. You're going to have it too in London. They're taking my freedoms. They're regulating me. They're trying to psychologically test me and my family and every other American. That's not freedom. We've gone from 1.3 million people in prison in the last 9 years to 7 million. They say it's going to be 30 million. The Mexican government just made all their judicial workers take implantable microchips, and now the Italian papers say they're about to make their people take microchips. My cousin in Special Forces for 18 years has been told he's going to have a microchip. They're putting in face scanners in the grocery stores. Buddy, they're putting in the control grid right now, my friend.
All right. Just remind us, Alex, of the various websites to check out. Anything that we've touched on or whatever else. And can also your films as well.
Well, the best place to get a total education, and thank you, Ian, I'm honored to be on your broadcast. The first place to get a full education on this, 15 cents a day, get a monthly subscription, prisonplanet.tv. We're fighting a prison planet, hence prisonplanet.tv. And go there 15 cents a day, watch all my films, read my book, read Paul Watson's book, he's right there in England, watch my TV weekly reports. 15 cents a day, PrisonPlanet.tv, or Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com to order my films via the safe, secure online shopping cart. We'll ship it out to you in England via UPS, comes right to you, Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com, or dial your country code and call 888. All right, again, that's 888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139. And by the way, there's no copyright on my videos for educational purposes. So make copies of them. Make copies of my DVDs. Give them to your friends and family. Knowledge is power. We're going to win this war against the New World Order. So again, Infowars.com or the subscription site, PrisonPlanet.tv. Go there. Subscribe for a month. Watch it for a month. You will be educated. You will have the facts. You will see the documents. You will know that what I've said an hour and a half is true. And Ian Collins, I want to give you a subscription to the site so we can, because I think you're a good guy. You're pretty well informed. And I hear your devil's advocate arguments, and I hope you're right. But unfortunately, I studied this. I'm right about this. And government is dangerous. It's tyrannical. It always abuses power. Even if we had an angelic government, Ian, right now running this country, if we're creating a mechanism of total control that when a dictator comes or a corrupt group comes, they're going to have the power to where no one can resist them. And meanwhile, I look at the current elite. They're a bunch of social Darwinist eugenics lovers who love controlling populations and love enslaving us.
Alex, we will no doubt speak again very, very soon. Enjoy your country's elections. We'll see how that pans out. And we'll speak again, hopefully, in a month or so.
Hey, Ian, you and Talk Sport are great for letting me come on with free speech. And God bless you, and best of luck. Take care.